This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The Spanish phrase mundo pequeño means small world. It's also the name and the mission of a massive undertaking by three cyclists from our region. Cameron Russell, Noah McCarter, and Eli Bennett are bicycling 12,000 miles across the Americas. Here's their route.
Started pedaling from Ushuaia, Argentina, down in Tierra del Fuego. We sort of weave back and forth between Argentina and Chile, and then we'll head north and go into Bolivia, and then Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, and then we'll have to take a boat to Panama, and then go all the way through Central America, and then up through the States back to New England.
Phew. Along the way, they are blogging and photographing their experiences from the saddles of their bikes and forging connections with the people and landscapes they encounter. We talked to them recently. They're in Valparaíso, Chile. They're almost 3 months and 3,000 miles into this epic bike trip. And I asked them, how did they go from an ambitious daydream to actually making this adventure happen?
This is Eli here. Yeah, one thing we've recognized is how lucky we are to find two other people, each of us, that are willing to do this trip and the time schedules with our lives. We're definitely thankful that we're all here because we wouldn't want to do this by ourselves. So,
also three people who can get along for that long. And are you still friends a couple months in?
Yeah. All of us, yes, we're still friends.
No, I had something too.
Yeah, I'd just like to add that even though we do face a lot of challenges being together all the time, we're eating together, we're sleeping together, we're riding all day together. Basically, it'd be like a relationship.
We have a shared bank account.
We don't get much of a break from each other's company, but even though like all those challenges are present, we have to work through that and have good communication. We're 3 months in and we're still doing great.
Tell me a story about an experience that highlights what this adventure is like for you.
This is Noah again. We met a young Argentinian guy named Andreas. He was cycling in the same direction as we were, and he joined us for a while. And his willingness to share his ideas and connect with us and his excitement over hearing what we were doing and his desire to support us and just his friendship dealing with the three crazy Americans, as he labeled us.
How's your Spanish?
Our Spanish is definitely a mixed bag. Cameron speaks the most Spanish and is, I would say, conversational. My Spanish is not as good, but it's improving rapidly. We've all been improving. Eli,
my Spanish is very bad. Yeah.
I'd just like to say that even though there is a language barrier a lot of the time, it hasn't stood between us connecting with people.
Jane, this is Cameron again. I just wanted to just go back on your question about, people we've met. We've met many, many people who we've shared short experiences with, on the side of the road, who say, here's a bottle of juice and some fruit, take it, or we had a woman in Lanco, Chile, who had a hospedaje that she normally would rent rooms for 10 to 12,000 pesos, which is $15 or so a person. And it was a bit out of our price range per person, but she just decided before we could say anything else, give us the four rooms for the quarter of the price. And basically was saying that seeing young people, doing something like this and taking it upon themselves to have an adventure and get out there is something that she really wanted to support. And so there are plenty of stories of those types of experiences.
You must be in some ways at the mercy of strangers to help shape this adventure. But I imagine because you're cycling, you're really also at the mercy of the weather and road conditions. And that must be such a challenge.
This is Noah again. Yeah, we've faced some challenges for sure with the conditions. The winds in Tierra del Fuego were incredible and we were riding against them. The road conditions are often horrible. They're basically like four-wheeler tracks at some point, or the worst back road, dirt road that you could imagine back in the States. And we're climbing the Andes Mountains often on those roads. Sometimes it's really dusty because the cars are going by and it's dry and they're blowing dust every time they go by, or it's pouring rain and they're slick and running. And those challenges are definitely present.
Are you guys able to keep that fun in the moment? Because there's a lot of fun looking back on challenges like that, but in the moment, it can really feel like a slog.
Yeah, this is Eli here. I really enjoy biking. Anyone who knows me knows that about me. So I've really enjoyed, you know, the terrible conditions. we've joked, and this is kind of like an outdoor term, but there's a couple different types of fun. And type one fun is fun that in the moment you're having a great time, you know. That's the day when the tailwind is pushing us along the nice paved road and it's just beautiful out. That's type one fun. And on those really bad days where the roads are dirt and gravel and it's raining, that's when we get into the type two fun, where it's not really fun in the moment, but we look back and we're like, oh yeah, that was worth it. And those are the days that we really remember. And I think for years to come, we'll be thinking back about, you know, the day we all ended up in the little cabin on the Carretera Austral, raining all day. We were cold. It was probably in the 40s or 50s, and we were wet. You know, we had everything we needed to be safe and survive the night, but it definitely was uncomfortable. It was just an abandoned cabin with the windows busted out and stuff. A fire in the stove, even though there was no stovepipe. And then we were battling with our eyes tearing up because of the smoke inside. You know, probably not the best decision, but that was some memorable type two fun where we look back and we think, oh yeah, that was worth it. That was a real experience. Those are the days that I definitely look back on with fond memories.
You know, when you describe this trip on your website, you talk about wanting to sort of affirm your faith in humanity through these travels. Are you finding that?
This is Eli here. For me, it's been really great for me to leave the U.S. and see it firsthand that, you know, people in Argentina and Chile and all these little towns along the Carretera Austral, we have so much in common, and that people are just are good in general. And so
yeah, Noah had something too.
Yeah, I want to jump in here and say that, and before this trip, in the past year leading up to it, and watching what was going on in politics and in the media, I think I speak for all of us when I say, like, sometimes you just feel helpless to take action or to make a difference. And this trip for us has become a way to do something we love and raise awareness through that, to share the stories of connection, of breaking down the differences between people and seeing the similarities instead, and focusing on the humanity instead of, you know, we're facing language differences, cultural differences. Any one of these small towns we run into, you would think there'd be so many things standing between us connecting with the local fishermen there or something, just in terms of our lives. But, you know, with a smile and a few words, there's connection and this shared humanity.
Jane, this is Cameron again. For me, in thinking about this trip and, you know, the name Small World in Spanish, and, you know, one of the questions that I find myself asking on a weekly basis is, you know, with what Noah said, can we show something impactful? Can we evidence this goodness that we're confident that we share with people, regardless of their, you know, sex, race, nationality, culture, etc. And so the hope is that, you know, if we set it up as much as possible beforehand and sort of had to be accountable to that, maybe when we get home and we have a bunch of videos and stories and photos, that we can find a way to share this, you know, this experience and this message in a way that positively affects other folks too.
So we'll wait to see what that turns into in the end. But, you know, the important question is, what kind of celebration have you planned for when you reach Vermont, whenever that actually winds up happening?
This is Eli. Me and Cameron, actually, I think this
we thought this through.
About a month ago, we were already talking about the planning, because we're very, we want to have a plan for everything. And
We're pretty A-type
person. No, not so much.
But a bit less.
He's a good sport about it.
but I think we're talking about maybe we'll all gather and, you know, be able to ride into Burlington or Montpelier together. This is Cameron. We'll probably have a big gathering of family and friends and we'll ride up to the Canadian border together and maybe get a ride back to the house after that. We do have some support from folks at OGE and Old Spokes Home and some support from meeting some socks and some sunglasses from Darn Tough Socks and Jumbo Sunglasses, respectively. We have some folks to thank and, you know, hopefully some folks to celebrate with when we get back.
I can't wait to keep following the trip as you move northward and follow your trip.
This is Eli again. Maybe a few weeks from now, we'll be starting up the Lagoon Route in Bolivia. That'll be a section where we'll probably be the most remote throughout the whole trip. And we have to carry 10 days of food and there's only water every 2 days. So that's something that maybe you and other listeners can look forward to watching on Instagram.
Sounds like a lot of type 2 fun.
Yeah, a lot of type 2 fun.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on it. You guys, Best of luck. Que onda.
Gracias.
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 That was Cameron Russell, Noah McCarter, and Eli Bennett. We talked over an internet connection. They are just about 3 months into a 10-month bike ride from Tierra del Fuego to Vermont. Their photos and blog posts from the trip are incredible. We've shared a link to their website on our show page at vpr.net. Listeners, if there's a comment you'd like to add to this conversation, leave a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us at Vermont Edition. And follow Vermont Edition in NPR One for all our latest content. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri, Sam Gail Rosen, and Meg Malone. Jake Rusnak directed this program. Our executive producer is Patty Daniels. And our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.